All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, September 23rd of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have a four-game MLB main slate, and then we have a two-game Monday night football slate showdowns for both as well. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But it is Monday here, so we do have to announce the winner and winners for our weekly Max Challenge. The Max Challenge is our season-long NFL promotion where you can win free prizes just by participating. It is totally free to enter here. So I believe, if I'm correct here, we did have our second mini max winner of the season. So let's get this pulled up. And let me get my screen up. All right. So we did indeed have back-to-back winning weeks here. So AJ Truck, congratulations. First place win 253.54 fantasy points, which is awesome. So far to start the year, we've had a fourth place, a first place, and a first place. You guys are really showing out, and we're super excited about these results. So for winning first place, let me pull up our Max Challenge sheet here. And let me get that back. So go down to prizes. So winner's bonus, win the NFL Mini Max on DraftKings. That'll be getting shipped out right away. And then for also being the top finisher, going to get a custom SaberSim hoodie and entry into the end of the season free roll here. So congratulations, AJ. And then for everybody else who participated but did not get first, we are going to grab everybody's name here. And we are going to do our spin to see who gets free tickets to next week's Mini Max contest. So it looks like we had 298 people participating this week, which is awesome. Awesome to see everyone showing out and participating. It's super cool. Most people we've ever had this season participating. So super awesome. So let me get Will's names up here. All right. So just pasted in those names, 298 matching what was on our other sheet. Going to hit shuffle a couple times here, and then we are going to spin to see who gets that free entry. So it looks like winner is going to be Rufio. Congratulations. Our support team will reach out to both winners for this week, and we will get back to you guys and let you know that you won. So thanks again for participating, everybody, and we are looking forward to another strong week four. Going to continue to give out these prizes, hopefully some more custom SaberSim championship belts on the way soon. So good stuff there. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up, and we'll hop into our regularly scheduled office hours here, and we will start with questions in the Discord, as always, and then jump over to the live YouTube chat. So let me get our first questions loaded up here, and we will jump right in. All right. So I'm going to start with the two-game slate. We'll use that as like our demo for today. Check one quick thing. And I see a bunch of people signed up for the lineup build review show today. So we do have our build review show going live at 5 p.m. Eastern. We looks like we have over, you know, five people signed up today. So I can typically do about like five people in a day. If it ends up being more than that, I will just roll the other participants into tomorrow. So just a heads up for everybody who signed up. So appreciate you guys signing up. It's nice to have a queue of people to load up here. So I will get to as many people as I can today. And then if, you know, depending on how many names there are, we will roll any additional users into tomorrow. But let's get Saber Simpled up. Got the two game slate here. And let's start with questions. It looks like the first one is going to be from Kevlar here. So let me get some questions in the queue. But we should have plenty of questions to talk about today. So nice full show. Talk about some autofill, some showdown, some aggregate metrics. So it should be good stuff. All right. So it looks like those are all of our questions to start. So let's jump in. First question. Sorry if I missed this somewhere, but can someone explain the max, median, and min ROI destination that are showing up on lineups, please? Thanks. Yeah, for sure. So if you just run a build in SaberSim, you know, default build, we're going to basically have default aggregate metrics. Part of that is to remind people that they're there, you know, to let them know like, hey, you know, these exist, these can be useful. We've set the defaults at like the average option. I don't know why, at least like from what I've been seeing. As I create a custom contest sim here for this build. So if you right click on any contest, you click add custom contest sim, right? So you notice that the payout structure, it says custom, but the contest size, percent to first, percent entries paid, user entries, all copy over from the contest that you right click on. This is different than going into payout structure and selecting the actual contest, even though the percentages and everything on the bottom is the same. Our custom payout structure is a blanket framework that we have, and it is not specifically the same as clicking one of the contests in the drop down here. So I just want to make sure people know the difference that a custom payout structure is not the same if I go in here and then go and find the contest in question, which I'm looking for, and I can't find it just because it's a really long list. Let me see if I can find it. 1.5 is what I'm looking for. 15K, 501. I know it's in here somewhere. I'm probably just missing it. But either way, it's better to come into payout structure and select the matching contest. That way the results line up kind of one for one. So just a small note there, but let me jump back to the build. Going to click run contest sim. And we will wait for this contest sim to finish before talking more about these metrics. Almost none. One other note while we wait is if you're not seeing aggregate metrics, you know, say it looks like this, where it's just blank, the way to access them is to come to my lineups and right click on it. And then you get this aggregate metrics pop up where you can create them, right? So normally what you're going to see here, right, is you're going to see max destination ROI, median destination ROI, and then minimum destination ROI. So this gives you like a pretty good range of like, hey, you know, this is the highest ROI in your contest, or in your set of lineups, this is the lowest ROI in your contest, and then this is the median, right? It can be useful. I use a couple different ones, so, you know, that's just personal preference, right? We just wanted to basically put some here to make people aware, give them what we believe to be like some valuable aggregate metrics in design. So if I had to choose some, the ones that I like are average ROI and average projection. I think these two end up being really, really important based on our findings in our build review show to date. So these are two that I recommend using. Mostly what I'm trying to make sure is, as I increase min uniques, I'm not sacrificing too much projection to do so. So even going from one min unique to three, right? We see a really big change, and that's because this is a two-game slate. But at one min unique, average projection is 124. When I jump to three, average projection drops all the way down to 121.1. So we're sacrificing 3 points of projection just to get to a three min unique setting. And in my opinion, I'm sacrificing too much projection for diversity in that sense. So I think two's actually okay. You know, it's a little subjective, right? I would say like 1 to 2 points max is like usually kind of okay. So average projection right now is 122.7. I guarantee a little bit of diversity, and I'm not sacrificing too much, right? And then also you could see that at one min unique, our ROI was 55.7. At two min uniques, it's 51.9. So like 4-ish% there. And that seems pretty okay to me. So there's a couple different, you know, options here, which way you want to go, et cetera, right? I could also change the sorting metric, which I hadn't done previously. So now the ROIs go way up because I'm sorting by the contest sim ROI. And then we would just redo the process, you know, until we found those numbers that we were looking for. But yeah, I mean, those are the aggregate metrics. These are the ones I recommend. These are the ones I find value in. So if there's any questions about them, let me know. All right, can you please one more time go over how to create a rule to filter slash reduce lineups with dupes for showdown slates? Thanks. For sure. So let's go to one of the showdowns. You know, I'm just going to do it for this two-game slate. I actually think that doing a geomean rule for a two-game NFL slate makes a lot of sense, and I would highly recommend including that in your process, just because duplication is a factor on a very small two-game slate where the player pool is limited here. So if you're on like Pro, Ultimate, you have access to custom metrics. First thing you got to do, go to the sorting metrics, go down to add metric, and then create a custom metric that looks like this, where it says my own product geomean value. And then I just renamed it to geomean so I know what it is. And then once I save that, it's going to become our summary statistic under all of my lineups here, so I can see it as I highlight it here. So it is showing me what the geomean of the lineup is. Now what I need to do is I need to figure out, hey, what is a good number to use for filtering, right? So because I have a custom metric, I can go to my lineup filters, go to add new filter, and the custom metric is going to be an option in this list. This is why we need the custom metric, right? So I can say geomean, say show me lineups with geomean less than X. And less than means more unique, or like the lower the geomean, the more likely the lineup is to be unique. The higher the geomean, the more likely the lineup is to be duplicated. So we got to figure out like, hey, what is the right number to set here, right? There's a couple different ways people go about this, and I don't think anybody's particularly right or wrong. So one way is approaching this the same as the other filters that we've discussed, like projection, like some ownership, where you're just trying to filter out the bottom 10 to 20% of lineups with a high geomean. So what I could do is I could do no math. I could just come in here and say show lineups with geomean less than, and I can just make up a number, right? I'm going to start with, I don't know, 30. So 30 got rid of almost all of my lineups. So I mean, that number's too low. I need to increase it. Maybe try 40. So 40, we're getting a little closer, like 182. 43. Okay, so a geo mean of 43, right? This filters out 61 lineups. This is just above 10%. I would be fine with this number, right? If you want to go about it this way, I think that's an okay way to do it. Now, if you want to be a little bit more granular, a little bit more specific, because you could do it the second way, right? And the reason for it is because, okay, well, what does a geo mean of 43 represent in the first place, right? I have no idea what this number means. So that's when you want to bust out the calculator. And so we come over here, we get our calculator, and we're like, okay, you know, first place in this contest is like 500K. At least this is the way I think about it. You know, what number would I be okay like taking home, right? And maybe the number is like 10K, right? So, okay, so then I would be okay taking 10K, right? So maybe I do 50 because, you know, 10 times 50 is 500 or 500,000, however we got to that number here, right? So maybe I'm good with like 50 dupes, right? So 50 divided by the number of entries in the contest, which is 88,000, to the power of 1 divided by the number of players in the lineup, which in the classic slate is 9. Well, look, that number is actually 43.6. You're going to round the decimal place, two places, you know, turn the 9. The 9 is going to turn the 5 into a 6. So, you know, carry the 1. And we have 43.6 would be the geo mean. So that's actually really close to what we have already, right? So this just gives you a better sense of, okay, now I know that I'm optimizing for lineups that are going to be duped 50 times or less. This just tells you that, right? This gives you that. And then, you know, 50 is too high for you or whatever, right? Then you can come in and lower it, right? And then you do the same formula again, you know, 40, maybe I try 40, 40 divided by 88,000 to the power of 1 divided by 9. And that's 42.5. And then maybe I go change, maybe I go and change it, right? So this is the little bit more granular way of doing it. But if you don't have access to custom metrics, you can always do this as a rule as well. So you go to rules, add new rule, you go to rule type aggregate, my own geometric mean, no more than, and I would put, you know, 43, right? Like we talked about. So you do it this way, then I'm going to guarantee that every lineup in your pool comes in under this geo mean, and then you would be all set and ready to go as well. So a couple different ways to do it, but those are the primary ways. All right. Good stuff so far. Next question. Andrew, a few things about late swap. Let's say I have two builds, a low stake and a high stake. Can we late swap them all at the same time? Does it matter? Also, if you can show the process, because yesterday I ran the late swap and didn't have any lineups in the autofill dropdowns. Okay, so I don't have a late swap contest at the moment. I didn't play this Sunday night to Monday because they have this two gamer. Usually it's like prime time and then one Sunday. Usually I do that, but I decided not to yesterday. So, you know, I'll just say like we kind of understand pre-slate filling your entries is different from post-slate filling your entries in late swap. And we're working to kind of clear up the confusion around late swap and, you know, like, hey, like, should I be direct filling late swap, auto filling late swap, and just kind of making everything a little bit more clear. So I just want to let you guys know that we're working on it and we're trying to make it better for you guys to streamline the process, to make it better understanding, to make it smoother and just make it work like, as good as it can possibly work. So late swap overhaul is underway and there will be more communication around that in coming weeks. And then as far as if you have two builds, can you late swap them together? The answer is yes, because you're still going to have your contest list and your lineups are still going to be tied to their parent lineup, right? So you're getting like, you know, your lineup that you're swapping is the parent. And then the child versions are all the versions of the lineup that we're creating, right? So those are your, when you put in your swaps per lineup, you're telling us how many times you want us to rebuild each original lineup. That's why it doesn't matter. That's why the fill methods are grayed out, right? It doesn't matter if you want to do rank, unique random, because each lineup is tied to an entry and we need to rebuild that specific entry, right? So you're not able to like divvy up the lineups however you want. They are more closely tied to that specific set of players, remaining salaries, positions available, etc. So it is okay to late swap them all at the same time. That shouldn't be a problem, especially if you're using autofill and then, you know, you have like all your contest sims for each contest, etc. there. So that's the way that works. All right. Next question. I'm still having a difficult time grasping autofill for multiple contest entry. I understand if I'm using unique rank starting from the top of your contest list, it determines the ideal slider settings for that specific contest, takes from that pool, and it adds those lineups to that contest, then removes them from the pool, goes to your second contest, adjusts sliders for the second specific contest, adjust the pool based on that second contest setting, adds lineups from that new pool to the second contest, then removes those lineups from the pool, et cetera, et cetera. I think a couple things are confusing me. Why does the player exposure column drop off after I go from direct fill to autofill when I make my lineups and save in autofill that is placing them in the saved lineup section as well as in the contest tab? Any advice or guidance would be very much helpful. Thank you for all your hard work and time. Sorry for the long question. Okay, so this is a good one. I'm going to use a build that I used on Sunday to talk about this. One, because I have a pre-slate build, and then two, because I also have a late swap build, and I think it'll make a lot of sense, or a lot more sense, what's all going on here. So let me hop over to my account that I use to build my own lineups. Oh, actually, I don't have a late swap here. Okay, so this is the DK early slate from Sunday, where I built my own lineups here. So let's talk about this, right? So let's say that I am in direct fill, okay? Now, in direct fill, I have an exposure column, right? This is because the exposure column is looking at your lineups and it's describing who is in which lineup and how many, right? So the difference here, the reason that when you switch to autofill, this column typically goes away, especially if you haven't filled anything to this point, is because autofill does not work the same way as direct fill. And also, there is no adjusting of the slider settings going on as well, right? The sliders affect building the lineups. Well, whether I'm using direct or auto, the pool is already present, right? I already see all 5,000 lineups. They're here. They're built. So the pool builds the 5,000, and then we take the 5,000, and then we use those either in direct or auto to put into your entries, right? To put the lineups into your contests. So direct, what it's doing is it's looking at how many lineups you have, I'm sorry, how many contests you have, and also how many contests you have selected at the same time. And then it's using that to give you your my lineups, right? So like I have 185 entries here. Well, if I turn this off and only select, you know, say this one that has 100, well, then my lineups updates, right? It updates to 100. And then the exposures are going to reassign, the aggregate metrics are going to reassign, et cetera, right? There's no slider changing, no rebuilding of lineups going on in this moment. So now if I reselect all the contests, the other big thing that happens here, I have the contest sims, right? I have contest sim for every contest that I played. So what also happens in direct fill is that the ROIs get averaged out. So if I go down to this lineup, rank number one, and I scroll in the summary stats, I'm going to see the ROIs of every lineup or that this lineup has in every single contest sim that we ran. So for instance, in the three entry max cover four, this lineup has a 56% ROI. But, and I saw this one, where did it go? In the 300K early only rush, it has a 341% ROI. So the ROIs change based on the contest sim or the contest that the lineup is in, right? So I think that might be the part that you're mixing up with the sliders, where this lineup has different value in different contests depending on which contest we're optimizing for, right? So now let's talk about autofill. So direct fill, we're averaging the ROIs based on how many contests are selected at the same time, and then the My Lineups is updating depending on how many entries we have in the contests that are selected. That is one of the most simple ways I can kind of explain it, right? Now, autofill is different. Although it says My Lineups 185, and although all the contests are selected at the same time, this works differently. And the big thing that works differently is that when you're in autofill, so imagine my CSV was blank, right? My CSV was blank right now. The entry exposure would be zero and the exposures would be gone. And the reason for that is because the lineups don't get filled into autofill the same way they do in direct fill. In direct fill, you look at the exposures, you could be sure that, like, okay, these exposures are going to go into these contests. And then depending on the fill method we use, will just depend on how the lineups get assigned, right? Autofill doesn't work like that. Autofill basically unselects all the contests, selects the top one, sorts by whatever is in the rank by column, whether that be contest sim ROI, whether that be Saber score. It reassigns the whole 5,000, reorders them all, applies your min uniques, and then takes the best lineup or lineups, puts it into the contest, removes that lineup that was used from the pool, and then moves on to the second contest and goes one by one until all of the contests are filled out. Now, where this gets tricky is I have one entry in three contests, and then I have 20 entries in the next, and I've applied a four min unique to this contest. The builder can't figure out what exact lineups are going to go into this one contest until it goes through the actual process of doing it. Until it is sitting there putting the lineups in, it's not going to be able to describe to you which lineups go into this contest. Therefore, it cannot tell you what your exposures are going to be until it's done. So until you click save and this save spins and then it says, hey, you know, your save is complete, download your lineups, at that point then we can tell you what the exposures of the players are. So before clicking save, we do not know what exact players and at what exact rates the players are going to go into your entries, because we haven't put the players in yet. We haven't put the lineups into the contest. And depending on your unique settings, your order, you know, it might be different to put your 100 entry first as opposed to your single entry first, depending on your uniqueness, right? You're going to use different lineups at different rates. So that's why you're not seeing exposures in autofill. So I hope that really makes sense. And then also, when you do the autofill, once those lineups are into each contest, and then you get the notification, you get the download, then the lineups will also show up in the contest tab as well, because the contest tab is just reading the lineup, is reading your entry file CSV that you're going to upload to the site and describing what the lineups are and the exposures for those players. So all of that is kind of tied together. So hope that makes sense. Let me know if there's any more confusion there, but I feel like I tried to answer it pretty thoroughly. All right. So let's keep it rolling. Let me get off of this and bring back up our two-game slate for tonight. All right. Next question. I was looking to change a couple projections for NFL and it appears we can no longer adjust the projections. Can you walk through how to do this? Sorry if I missed a previous video on it. You could definitely still adjust projections. So player projections, you could just do it in the My Projection column, you know, moving guys up or down with these plus and minus icons. If you're looking to change team totals up at the top, so you don't do it by just clicking under the team name, you go to the team stacks and there is a projected points column. And if I wanted to adjust it here, I could use the plus or minus. I could click in and write any number I want. So say I want to take Jacksonville from 21 points to 24, right? I change it to 24. Let me remove this question. Here, I'm going to get a question down at the bottom. It says apply changes to game. It's behind my little box here, so you can't see it. Let's do this. Apply changes to game. And then I would click yes. And then I got to do one more step. So I would go to players. And then I would go to my projection column, click the gear icon, and then change to Saber Sim Adjusted. Okay, this will change your projection source to account for the team total adjustment you made. So we have the original projections with the original team totals, and then we have the adjusted projection source with your altered team totals. So if you do not do this step, we will use the original projections, even though you made a change that will not be accounted for in your lineup. So very, very important to switch your projection source here. All right. Keeping it rolling here. Looks like those are our first round of questions in the Discord. So then we're going to jump over to the live YouTube chat. So Demetrius asked, can you go over your NFL process? NFL DFS process. Thank you for Showdown on DK and Classic on DK. Yeah, I mean, so like, let's say, you know, I'm building for this two-game slate, right? So I'm going to come in here and I'm going to kind of just get familiar with the slate, right? One thing I like to do is always check like injury report. So on like a big classic slate, it's a little bit harder to do. There are like some like Underdog NFL does a good job of like end of the week roundup, like on Friday, like, hey, these guys are like questionable. Keep your eyes, you know, keep your eyes on Justin Herbert. You know, so-and-so is out, like, Joe Mixon's out, you know, Cam Akers next man up, Damian Pierce is out. So just keeping an eye on like injury situations, you know, the situation with the 49ers and all of their out players. So just trying to be in tune with where value can come from, who can have additional opportunities, things like that. And, you know, check like those players in the app, like, hey, where are their projections look like? How are these fantasy points getting distributed, right? So let's say that, you know, I don't know, Jamar Chase is out, right? I might come in here and just like do a glance, like, okay, hey, how are we projecting the Bengals receivers, you know, oh, like T. Higgins, okay, oh, Andre Eosivis, you know, Chase Brown, Mike Gesicki, all these guys, you know, do I think these projections are representative of, you know, the player being out? Yes. Okay, good. So just kind of doing some checking there on like injuries and stuff like that. And then outside of that, not doing a whole lot else here. I'll just do, I don't like to see players that are projected super low. So I'll just do my projection greater than 3, remove defense. I'll usually turn on don't use players against opposing D on a classic slate. I will not do that on a 2-game slate like today. I wouldn't recommend doing it. You know, you could definitely have Bengals D, man, you know, Terry McLaurin, like it could totally be okay. So the smaller the slate, the less rules I would typically recommend in general. So like that's one, or like on like small baseball slates, you know, don't use batters against opposing pitchers. I probably leave that off for, you know, 2, 3, 4 game slates even, and just kind of let those come up at the rate that they come up in the Sims. So that's something I'm thinking about. But other than that, you know, 2 adjustments, 2 projections, run lineups. Big thing is, you know, have my contest Sims set up ahead of time, right? Bringing in my entry file. And then it really comes down to running the build. Now, I think our contest sim here is for 150 max. Let's say I'm playing 20 lineups, right? So what I like to do here is first I got to run my contest sim so I can get access to what I need to get access to. And we're just waiting for the sim to finish. So contest sim finishes, right? Come in, change my sorting metric. I'm not using target contest because I don't have a CSV specifically. So I'm just using the custom one that I made, which is the flagship MME ROI. And then I'm creating aggregate metrics for the average projection, average ROI, which I talked about earlier. So then now what I want to do is I want to see how does changing the uniques affect these numbers, right? And I think we're going to end up at 2 here. Three actually looks okay. So starting numbers, average projection 116.7, average ROI 220. At 2 uniques, average projection actually goes up, but ROI comes down. We can see that sometimes when, you know, you're basically, SaberSim is like taking a stand on like a lower owned player or team or set of players whose projection might be a little bit lower, but their ownership is also lower. So, you know, that kind of balances out, and where the builder's like, okay, these players slightly lower projected, but when they do good, you have a better chance of winning more money than if when they, then, you know, the opposite effect here of playing higher projected players, but you're assuming more ownership. So you actually end up winning a little bit less when these players do good as opposed to the opposite. So you got to kind of figure out what number works here. You also got to pay attention to the exposures and leverages, right? I'm always looking at those. So I want to make sure that like I can see, hey, what players am I taking a stand on? Am I okay with these exposure rates? And I'll typically do that. I'll just move in some columns around. So here, right? Like, yeah, I have 100% exposure to James Cook, but he's 70% owned, right? Not that much leverage. 75% Zach Moss, 60% owned, not that much leverage. So at mini unique of 1, we start to take some stronger stands, right? Taking like a, you could sort by leverage too. You know, just sort highest to lowest. So big stand on Trevor Lawrence, big stand on Brian Thomas Jr., Gesicki, Bengals, Zach Moss. And then it starts to flatten out a little bit, right? But biggest stands, like I'd say, like Trevor Lawrence for sure, like 5x his ownership. Mike Gesicki, like 3x. I think that's kind of okay. But if I'm okay with, you know, 5x Lawrence here, I might just leave it at 1. If I don't like it, I might increase it to 2, right? Or to 3. So when the ownerships are going to be really, really high, I think is when you need to pay a little bit more attention to the exposures and leverages and settle on a number that makes sense to you. But that's it, right? Once I'm done with this, I'm pretty happy. You know, I'm going to click save and I'm going to upload it. I try and have a pretty lean process. I don't know if you guys saw, like, when I pulled up my screen earlier, you know, I had like, I don't know, 20, 25 slates or something like that. And that's just Sunday. It's not even including like Thursday or Monday or whatever. So it's like all the showdowns, all like the small classics and stuff. So I have a lot to get through on a Sunday. So I gotta go pretty fast. But that's kind of what I'm rolling with. And my flashback ROIs have been pretty good. So pretty happy with how that's all working out. And then as far as showdown goes, right? So like, say we're building lineups for Jaguars, Bills. Come in, create my contest sim, just leave it as is. Same thing here, right? Injuries, being aware of what's going on here. I don't know if there's any injuries today. I haven't even looked yet. But then I would come in here and build my lineups, right? One thing I like to do is I like to lower minimum salary. I'm okay playing lower salary lineups for showdown. Doesn't bother me. I would also increase lineups to 5,000. Typically, I'm just going to do 500 for the show. But again, right, less games on the slate, less filters and rules I think are necessary. I think it's okay to curate your player pool if you want. One thing I will do here is standardize my lowest owned players. Like I might come in here and just say, you know, show me players with projection greater than zero to kind of, so I don't have to look at everything. And then for like all these players that are really low owned, right, I might just come in here, say, okay, hey, I'm going to set all these guys to one because it will have an effect on my geomean calculations after the fact. Like if players are coming in 0% owned, then that's going to, because it's a multiplication equation, it's going to make all of the values zero, which is not what we want it to be. So just standardizing the lowest ownership for captain, doing the same thing for the flex can just be good practice here. And then building lineups. So let's let these 500 lineups build. So I don't want to jinx myself, but I know people have been mentioning the stream buffering a little bit. I made a change today, and I have seen only one instance of buffering today. So I'm actually pretty happy about that. So thanks for sticking that out with me. I've been trying to like research different like forums, different stuff about ways to negate that effect. And I think we might have turned a corner here today. So hopefully streams are pretty consistent and not buffering as much going forward. But anyways, lineups have built, going to run the contest sim. And one thing I'll do here, just like to save a little bit of time, you know, the pool is already built, right? I can go in and set my geomean filter while the contest sim runs because it is independent of the contest sim. So I can come in here, start adjusting the geomean, right? Okay. You know, 40 lineups in the trash. Okay. I lower it, goes to 71 in the trash. This is like more in the range that I want. So this would be one of the ways we talked about where you're not doing the math, but you are, you know, just trying to filter out 10 to 20%. So I'm just going to roll with that one for now. Change my sorting metric. Now that I'm ready to start analyzing lineups for showdown, I like to use average projection, average salary, and then average ROI. All right, so sorted by exposure. And then now, you know, it's just going to, again, like be like, hey, you know, how comfortable am I with my lineups, right? With my leverages, taking a big stand on Etienne. Okay, what if I change uniques to two? How does that affect things, right? And it didn't change it at all. So that means my top 20 lineups already have at least two players different from every other lineup. When I go to three, it changes it, right? Average projection changed. It went up about a point-ish. ROI came down about 10-ish percent. I would actually be okay with three, right? If you wanted to use three, Etienne leverage comes down to like 2x the field. All these other leverages kind of flatten out. Like, we didn't sacrifice that much in terms of aggregate metrics. And our leverages look pretty good, right? I like the flex leverages as well, taking a stand on Brian Thomas Jr., taking a little bit of a stand against Josh Allen, you know, maybe like closer to like half his ownership in the flex, taking a stand against James Cook now in the flex, right? So a couple different things you'll see here. So, you know, you could play with a unique number. You could play with minimax exposures, but just biggest thing for me, right? Exposures, leverages, balancing it out with the aggregate metrics. So diversification, exposures, leverage, you know, I'm up to like juggling three things at a time, and then mini uniques, you know, juggling four, you know, bowling pins at once, right? We're just trying to find a balance between all these different things. But yeah, that is what I would be doing for NFL Showdown. All right, next question here. If you added another filter for contest sims, specifically the one to get ROI greater than zero, would it be impossible? Would it be possible that you lose all your lineups? Good question. So the answer would be yes, it would be possible. You'll typically see this if you will see more lineups go away if you are using you're having a lot more input into what players are going into the lineups, since min and max exposures are like a very blunt tool that just guarantee you're going to get to X, Y, and Z players, right? So if I come in here doing ROI greater than zero filter, well, I get down to 91, right? And that's pretty normal. But my point is, if you're having a big effect on how the lineups look in the first place, and then those lineups go into the contest sim, well, it could simply be because of the lineup constructions that more lineups end up getting trashed due to the way that they were constructed. I would recommend taking your hand off a little bit and trying to be a little bit looser with some of those requirements on the builder. All right. Samuel said, good afternoon, Andrew. Huge thanks for the reply to my question. My question is, shall I make adjustments at the salary level for Monday Night Football, considering leaving salary? It can be a way to avoid dupes, or let the builder decide. I think either way is okay. You know, we've done post-contest reviews with users who leave salary and grade out really well. And like, that's almost all they do, right? We have other builder reviews where people don't touch salary and they do other things to get high sim ROIs. Like, I think one thing I've learned more and more and more is like, there are a lot of different ways to be a positive sim ROI player. And if you want to try the salary avenue, great. You know, if you want to try a different avenue, great. You want to try both? You could do that. You know, you could do one build for one contest and one build for another contest. And then after the slate's over, go in and look at both and see how you graded out sim ROI wise with these two different approaches. And then, you know, you do that a couple of times and you kind of get a rhythm for it. And you're like, okay, you know, I've done a number of these, you know, how are they grading out over the last, you know, five times I've done it. And maybe I want to pick one now that I like better, right? You've done a little case study on both and trying to figure out which one works better for you. All right. Charlie said, how does min uniques and diversification is min uniques and diversification a good thing? Does it just make the floor better, or is it higher ROI long-term? And if it is higher ROI, how? Okay. Good question. So technically, it is lower ROI to increase uniques and get diversification. And the reason for that is you are sacrificing ROI. You're trading ROI for diversification. You don't really have that much diversification out of the gate, right? At Mininix of one, exposures are going to be concentrated because the builder is identifying plays that it perceives to be good. And it's saying, hey, when you play, you know, this group of players, or, you know, in this, you stack this game or this team, you know, those teams do better in the contest sim. So it wants to give you a lot of them. The reason we diversify is because, one, DFS is a high variance game. And number two is that most of us do not have an unlimited bankroll, right? We are working within some type of bankroll constraints. So it is important to try and smooth out the variance over time. That way you don't have these, you know, negative 90% ROI days. If you have a huge bankroll and you know, let's say you had unlimited time, unlimited bankroll, you would actually want to use no or one unique. You would always want to play your highest ROI lineups. You would never want to trade for diversification, because long-term that is actually going to win you more money, but it is also going to make the swings of DFS much, much bigger and steeper, right? You see on my DFS Twitter, people talking about, you know, pros will sometimes share their, you know, bankroll trackers and be like, yeah, like this guy's on like a 500K downswing, but then, you know, he wins a million maker and like he gets it all back. Well, you know, are you prepared for that? Like, are you prepared to go on, you know, that big of a downswing? Or do you want to like try and smooth it out and, you know, not make it as big, right? And, you know, that's like a top player, but, you know, it's possible, right? Like those things happen. And that is the reason we use uniques, is because, you know, and the reason we want diversification, we want to smooth out that variance over time. And we want to, you know, not lose so much every single day, because DFS, you're going to lose more days than you win. Like our backtesting project, where we took a positive 20% long-term ROI player, put them through bankroll simulations for baseball, taught us that a long-term winning player will only win 6 to 8 days in a calendar month playing every single day. So that means they are losing the other 22 to 24 days in a calendar month, which is, you know, three times as much losing as it is winning, right? All right. Samuel said, best way to use the Sims playing contests under flagship MME and single entry. Thanks. Yeah, I would check out those walkthroughs that I did, you know, a little bit earlier. The classic slate walkthrough, did a showdown walkthrough, and those are the ways that I'm using it. Those are the ways that I would recommend using it. All right. Well, those are all of the questions that came in so far in the YouTube chat. So let's jump back to the Discord, see if anything else has popped in here since we started the show. And looks like we are all caught up on questions. So we have the Build Review show going live in about 5 minutes here. So I'm going to hop off of here and get that stream ready. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll see you all in about 5 minutes. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.